Good morning, everyone. My name is Trang Nguyen from Oregon State University, and today I will present part of my project related to extracellular microbial peptidases and, in a bigger picture, the organic component of the nitrogen cycle. So my research is funded by the National Science Foundation, Vietnam Education Foundation, and Agricultural Research Foundation in Oregon State University. So let's get started. So what is the nitrogen cycle? For the last decade, mineralization was thought to be the main controller of the nitrogen cycle, which is the conversion from organic soil organic nitrogen to inorganic nitrogen. And plants were thought to only uptake the inorganic nitrogen and compete very poorly with the microorganisms for this source of inorganic nitrogen. So mineralization, therefore, link between the microbial decomposition and the plane uptake of the inorganic nitrogen. But for the last decade, depolymerization was recognized to be the main controller of the nitrogen cycle and the rate limiting step. Soil organic nitrogen is broken down by the proteolytic enzymes and other enzymes to oligopeptides and amino acids, which can be directly uptaken by plants and microorganisms. And so these products of the low molecular weight organic matter can be utilized by the both plant and microorganisms or further mineralize into inorganic nitrogen form or being used to produce more proteolytic enzymes that support the depolymerization process. So this is the conceptual model of my research. As I mentioned before, I'm focusing on the depolymerization of the nitrogen cycle. And there are a wide range of microorganisms that produce the extracellular peptidases. Bacteria, fungi, and archaea both contribute to this extracellular peptidase production. And to an understanding about the diversity and the evolution of the extracellular peptidase would help us to understand more about the nitrogen cycle. So that will be my focus. So what are peptidases? Peptidases are basically proteolytic enzymes that break down the peptide bonds. And peptidases are classified into seven main groups or seven superfamilies based on the catalytic residue at the active site of the enzymes. And the peptidases, basically the catalytic residues are the nucleophilic amino acids or the metal, in the case of metallopeptidases. So these peptidases are further classified into different lower families based on the statistically significant similarity in the amino acid sequence that make up the enzymes. So, and a subset of these peptidases are extracellular peptidases that are secreted out to the environment by two for degrading functions, and these extracellular peptidases distinguish themselves among other peptidases that doing the function for, you know, intracellularly speaking. So with that, I have two research questions and two hypotheses. The first is that different microbial taxa, archaea, bacteria, and fungi have distinctive repertoires of peptidase coding genes, which may result in different protein degradation abilities. And the second is that within each microbial kingdom, the extracellular peptidase distribution is driven by the microbial evolutionary history. So my research approach, starting with the archaea, bacteria, and fungal genomes from the NCBI database, and then I have two analyses. The first one is phylogenetic analysis based on the marker genes, such as 16S and 18S RNA from Silva database, and then I align these sequences, and I build the descent matrix and phylogenetic tree. The second approach is to do functional analysis, which is I use the MROC database to annotate the secreted peptidase coding genes. As I mentioned before, I only focusing on the extracellular peptidases, and using MROC database and the SignalP algorithm to distinguish the extracellular enzymes among other peptidases. And then I generate the secreted peptidase profiles, which is basically the the abundance of both unique and shared peptidase families among microorganisms. And then I do the same thing. I build the distant matrix and dendrogram to see the relationship functionally between the microorganisms. And then I use these two tables to calculate the correlation between the two distant matrix to estimate the conservation of the secreted peptidase distribution on the microevolutionary tree. I estimate the phylogenetic signal strength of each secreted peptidase families, and I visualize the phylogenetic trees with secreted peptidase information. So this is the composition of the secreted peptidase superfamilies. And as you can see, the relative abundance profiles of the secreted peptidase in each microbial kingdom varied. For example, aspartic is the most abundant in fungi and least abundant in bacteria with only 4%. Metallo is the most abundant in bacteria while the least abundant in archaea. I also, using this data and the Bray-Curtis dissimilarity that calculated from the relative abundance of secreted peptidase coding genes, I plot them on a principal coordinate analysis of the peptidase families, and I see very nice separation between gram-negative bacteria with gram-positive bacteria, between Crenaceota and Eurycheura, Basidiomycota and Ascomycota. So what exactly driven the separation between, you know, like different microbial kingdoms have very distinguishable group, collection of peptidase subfamilies. So one of the rationale behind this story is that bacteria has a lot much wider collection of secreted peptidase compared to the fungi and archaea. So this is a bipartite association network of shared peptidase families, which is basically show that, you know, bacteria share have a lot of separate nodes belonging to metallo, cysteine, serine, asparagine, and aspartic, while archaea and fungi share a lot of their peptidase families with bacteria and other groups. So I just want to note that different shapes in these pictures represent for different peptidase superfamily like metallocysteine, and the size of these represent the relative abundance of each of these subfamilies in the we also do the mental test basically to test the correlation between the function and the phylogenetic distribution. And we see a significant correlation between secreted peptidase and the phylogenetic relationship within kingdoms. It might infer an evolutionary relationship in which subsets of phylogenetically related organisms share similar types of secreted peptidase. This is one example of me visualize the distribution of the bacterial secreted peptidase on the tree of life. So the inner are the tree of life. These clade with colorful, with a lot of colors, represent for different bacterial phyla. And the outer rings represent for the abundance of the secreted peptidase coding genes. And we have 10 families here, which including mixed and unknown, which are, I haven't talked before, but it's not too much of importance. So the take-home message from this distribution is that you can see that the secreted peptidase coding genes very widely dispersed among the bacterial tree of life. So what does it tell you? Maybe the possessing a good collection of the secreted peptidase giving the bacteria a lot of strategies to gain both carbon and nitrogen from the environment by breaking down the protein molecules. So that might explain partially to the wide dispersion of these secret peptidase. We also see some phylogenetic patterns on this tree, and we do the phylogenetic signal strength using Fritz and Purvis index, and we see that aspartic, cysteine, and threonine have significant evolutionary signal on this tree of life. And I want to draw your attention to the bacteroidetes that on the next slide. So this is the bacteroidetes when I zoom in to the bacteroidetes trees. So the one in orange represent for the bacteroidetes that from the aquatic and soil environments, and the one in purple represent for the bacteroidetes that from animal gut, such as the cockroaches or human gut or animal, any other thing. And we see a nice separation on the tree of life based on the environment where they're from, and we also see some phylogenetic signal, different patterns of the distribution of the peptidase among these different groups of bacteroidetes. For example, aspartic, you see some aspartic in the bacteroidetes that live in aquatic and soil environment with, you know, tend to be more a little bit more acidic environment, which might be more optimal for the aspartic to exist and function well. But you don't really see any aspartic in the bacteroidetes that belong to animal guts. And cysteine, you see a lot more cysteine distributed in the bacteroidetes that belong to the bacteroidetes and Prevotella group of bacteroidetes. And also, you also see the threonine distributed much more in the bacteroidetes that from the environment other than from animal gut that you don't see anything. So this is some of the example of the phylogenetic patterns that we observe on the tree of life. And with that, I want to conclude my talk into two points. So the repertoires of secreted peptidase coding genes differ among the microbial kingdom and among lower taxonomic groupings, suggest that there might be distinct functional roles among taxa in terms of breaking down the proteinaceous compounds. And some peptidase families are more conserved in the phylogeny than others, but some are more randomly distributed across species. This might be, you know, this may be possessing secreted peptidase are a strategy for microorganisms to gain both carbon and nitrogen from the environment, or there might be some horizontal gene transfer that happen on the tree of life in the microbial world. So linking specific evolutionary events with the signal loss of some subfamilies at certain positions on the tree of life might provide some insights about how the microbial functions shift due to other biotic or abiotic changes of the environment. Thank you so much for listening, and I would be happy to answer any question if you have. Yeah, so we only see we see some phylogenetic signal on aspartic, cysteine, and threonine superfamilies of the peptidase, secreted peptidase, but we see very random distribution of, for example, like metallo or serine or asparagine or glutamic. So I can't really tell, and I haven't done any other analysis to determine whether it's just random distribution that, you know, every organism wanna constitutively produce the metallo or serine for their to degrading protein in the environment, or is that a horizontal genes transfer? I really don't know, but you know, it could be possible that it could be horizontal genes transfer that happened very early in the evolution. Thank you for the question.
I have a question. So the genomes that you looked at, which, so I understand broadly that there was human environment as well as
so my research is based on all the organisms that has been studied, and the organisms that I selected for my study based on the MIRAP database, which is, you know, the big database for the peptidase enzymes, and I just only selected any archaea, bacteria, and fungi that has at least one sequence of the secreted peptidase. So So it's not really like based on any research that I do in you know, I didn't collect any samples in the environment, but I inherit the data from different sources of information. So it might introduce some bias to this study, some potential limitation to this study, because some microorganisms are better studied than other organisms. So, you know, it might introduce some bias. For example, the Bacillus is very well studied in the environment, but not some other group of microorganisms. So, thanks for the question.
So maybe there are trimers or not peptides?
So in the 70s, from the 70s until now, we only have three primers for the peptidase, APR, NPI, and SUB for the aspartic serine and metallo. But since then, there has been no primer has been designed for, no other primer has been designed for the secreted peptidase. So it's probably part of the goal that I want to do in the future, that trying to find a universal set of primers that can help me to identify the secreted peptidase. Thanks for the question. That's a very good question. That's part of the goal of my project.
Okay.